Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Well, welcome back to my channel. And in this video, I'm commenting on the South African Expropriation Act. On the 24th of January this year, President Cyril Ramaphosa signed it, and therefore it became law. I don't know if the president has veto powers in South Africa. But anyway, this entitles the government to confiscate property without compensation. And that has disturbed some members of the government. Remember, the African National Congress, which is the principal ruling party, they're in coalition with the Democratic Alliance. So this is over 30 years after the end of apartheid, this was passed. So apartheid was this system of racial discrimination officially instituted in 1948, dismantled completely by 1994. Even prior to 1948, there were some racially discriminatory laws. So in South Africa, whites comprise only 7% of the population, but have much more than 7% of the property and wealth. And so the ANC was the political party banned for decades, which fronted the campaign for racial equality in South Africa. And of course, it's a very good thing. No fair-minded person would want to go back to apartheid. So just because apartheid was bad, and it definitely was, it doesn't automatically follow the ANC is good, and how it is good in some ways, bad in others. There's been a lot of peculation, a lot of incompetence and mismanagement under this current system. But even taking that all into account, South Africa is still a lot better off than it was 30 years ago. I mean, people of all races are better off financially, freer, can go where they want, can marry whom they want, and so forth, can say what they want to a greater extent than they could beforehand. Anyway, how did it come that one race is much wealthier than the others? Well, obviously, black people and Khoisan people, if they're not to be regarded as black, were the autochthonous inhabitants of South Africa. It's only 1652 that the first Dutch people came to live permanently in South Africa. Of course, there was no concept of South Africa. It was several different countries. The indigenous people, mostly Bantu people, all their own languages, their own chieftains, their own polities and so forth, didn't perceive themselves to be one. I don't suppose even knew that whites existed, had no form of writing. And of course, the Dutch didn't initially care about South Africa. They just saw it as a vegetable patch, a way station to supply ships sailing to the Dutch East Indies, what we now call Indonesia. But anyway, the Dutch people in South Africa came to call themselves Afrikaners, as in Africans, white to a resident there, that they kept the Dutch language going, evolved in its own way to its own version of Dutch called Afrikaans, joined by immigrants from Germany, France, and so forth. Eventually, the United Kingdom conquered it. And South Africa, as we know it, had its current borders from the early 20th century. The Union of South Africa formed in 1910. But at one stage, whites formed 26% of the population of South Africa. And why did Europeans choose to settle in South Africa more so than any other African country? And that's because of its favorable climate, as well as extraordinary rich deposits of mineral resources like cobalt, iron, gold, diamonds, manganese, uranium, silver. Is there anything else? Copper, just about every metal, precious and non-precious, that you can think of is there. Suitable for arable farming, it's some Mediterranean climate, the fact that there's no tsetse fly. Tsetse fly is the scourge of much of sub-Saharan Africa, causing sleeping sickness in people. It rarely kills people, but make them sleep for 24 hours. It kills cattle and horses a lot. The life expectancy in sub-Saharan Africa for cattle and horses is much lower than other parts of the world, and so on. So anyway, sometimes whites bought land. Often they fought against other people. They seized it. Sometimes they found empty land. And obviously, the Dutch brought them the Romano-Dutch legal system. Subsequently, the British, we brought our common law. Not that I'm South African. I've only been there once. But anyway. There was a terra nullius principle in both legal systems, which is, say, empty land, that nobody lives there. Now, you might say that's nonsense. People have lived there, you know, for almost 3 million years, which is true. And some of them practice sedentary agriculture, so plainly had some sort of concept of territory. If I plow this field, if I sow and reap here, it is mine. I put work into it. You know, they say that legal rights exclude the world, build some fence or something like that. Well, they actually very seldom built fences, but the idea of exclusivity, this is my property. But of course, in 1652, the population in South Africa was much, much lower than it is now. It's probably in the high hundreds of thousands. Life expectancy was much, much lower. There's almost no medical or scientific knowledge. But if you come to a place, a hectare, and there's no sign of human habitation, or that there's ever been human habitation or ploughing or something, could you claim that as your own? Remember when the population is far, far lower than it is today. You might say there was, but could you claim 2 hectares or 3 hectares or 4 hectares or how much before, no, that's intruding in somebody else's space? What is the originary of property? We all started out in the Rift Valley in Africa. It's over 3 million years ago. Humans were all related at some point. We're all the same species. We've all got 99.99% the same DNA. Race really is just skin deep. So the differences between the races are almost non-existent. But anyway, and then proceed to fan-wise from there, but people came to a bit of land and said, this bit is mine. Someone claimed it. Now that person may have been then killed by an intruder who claimed it for himself. Do the intruder's descendants rightfully own it or not? And we often can't be certain how it came into somebody's hands. But anyway, from the 17th century, the Dutch, later Afrikaners, they call themselves, had some sort of system of land ownership with documentation, with title deeds, and the British followed on. So whites, with their technological advantage, be able to use horses, also firearms, were able to claim more of the land. And of course, the indigenous people of South Africa, the different nations of South Africa, if you will, the Zulu and so on, Basutu, all sorts of other peoples, they fought each other and displaced each other. And that supplantation led to territory changing hands. There was a Mfokane in the beginning of the 19th century when under Shaka, the Zulus, they defeated lots of neighboring tribes or nations, if you will. And that led to the sequestration of a lot of property and so forth. And people these days don't say, well, this therefore this is not rightfully part of KwaZulu-Natal and so on. So yes, borders were changed by force. That's the way it happened. That wasn't even regarded as illegal international law until the 20th century. So what obviously I completely disagree with, saying that people, only people of a certain color can own whatever property. And then South Africa became self-governed again in 1910, but non-whites excluded almost entirely from the decision-making process. So whites made laws to suit themselves, even though that was discriminatory against the majority race. Now they say, oh, but we're better at farming, and it's okay. Some of the whites generally did have more advanced farming techniques, but those aren't exclusively automatically white. Some white people be terrible at farming. I would be. A black person could be superb at farming, could quickly learn these techniques and so on. So there was really no rational or moral justification for keeping these things in the hands of whites. When apartheid ended 30 years ago, and nevertheless, whites are the lion's share of the wealth. So obviously, black people are allowed to get rich now. Mr. Ramaphosa is a multi-millionaire through business himself. But I don't agree with these confiscations. It really does appear to be demagoguery, playing to the gallery, trying to outflank the so-called economic freedom fighters, who are really just racist communists, indulging in the most viciously anti-white rhetoric. Now, nobody should be mistreated for his or her race. And black people were mistreated in South Africa for a long time. There's no question about that. It was much worse for black people in South Africa in the old days than it is for whites now. Though there is some anti-white discrimination at the moment, it's quite minor compared to what went before. I'm not trying to say that this complaint is meant to be justificatory of apartheid. Absolutely not. I'm very glad that's over. And it's never, ever coming back. It's dead and buried and rotten away and quicklime poured on top. But if people have to have their property confiscated, all right. And it says when it's fair and justifiable and equitable to do so, I suppose a court will decide. I hope a court will decide rather than being a politicized decision. But the fact there's no compensation is very troubling. And South Africa may go down the way of Zimbabwe. It'll scare off investment. It could really wreck the economy, partly because the ANC is failing on multiple fronts, where there has to be load shedding because they haven't prepared for the growing population, the rise in prosperity, more and more people using electricity, a lot of electrical engineers retiring, and they're just not keeping up the power stations to provide sufficient electricity. So they're trying to divert public attention from their failures. They're misdirecting people by coming out with this populist land grab. Now, I know rights of property are not absolute, which is why we have taxation, which is why I have rules about what you're not allowed to own. It's often so, no drugs are not allowed to own things like guns at certain ages, or that sometimes in the public interest, land can be compulsory purchased to widen a road or something like this. But this is very troubling and retrograde. And where will it end? It might lead to an awful lot of land being taken without compensation. And there might be even more white flight, even more of a brain drain, which I suggest would be a very bad thing. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe to me on Patreon. Donate on PayPal, georgecallahan7@gmail.com, and check me out on TikTok. Goodbye.